In his first summer on the job, newly elected State Superintendent Tony Bennett proposed changing how Indiana licenses its public school teachers. Known collectively as REPA, the document was immediately controversial. Indiana University Assistant Dean for Teacher Education, Jill Shedd, says while some of REPA's measures were poorly received, it was the manner in which they were proposed that was the most worrisome.
The document that was presented in July 29th was created in isolation. It wasn't a collaborative conversation with teachers, with school administrators, with teacher education professionals, and many of the issues that were addressed could have easily been addressed in probably a more positive and proactive way had there been collaboration at the very start.
But Superintendent Bennett says the proposals were created by consulting outside expertise and were meant as a jumping-off point for discussion.
The National Council for Teacher Quality graded Indiana a D. So we brought the National Council for Teacher Quality in and said, you know, help us develop the recommendations.
Hundreds turned out for public meetings. Feedback from educators was generally harsh, and as a result, the document changed. For example, one proposal would have placed limits on how many credit hours of education-based classes a prospective teacher would take. That idea was eventually scrapped. But when Governor Mitch Daniels signed the document last month, he said the end product was still significant.
Today, we're about to make formal and final new regulations, which will transform dramatically what is expected of new teachers in Indiana to receive a teaching license.
But University of Indianapolis Dean of Education Kathy Moran says that's not the case.
It won't change much. That's what's so surprising about the press release. It seems to imply that it's changing something for content knowledge when what we would say is by and large we've been doing that anyway.
If this didn't create a different way of doing things for the universities wouldn't have turned out in mass to oppose it the way they did.
Despite some revision, the plan still places more emphasis on content matter courses and less on those that focus on educational philosophy or how to teach. Bennett points out one provision requires those who teach grades 5 through 12 earn undergraduate degrees in the subjects they teach.
You can't teach chemistry, you can't teach physics if you don't have strong content knowledge in chemistry or physics.
For some colleges and universities, that means rewriting and restructuring their curriculum. But for most, Moran says, hardly anything will change. Bennett disagrees.
We don't depend on the colleges and universities to interpret the document. We will interpret it for them, and there's no question that this improves or increases the content knowledge of teachers in the areas.
He says better teachers will translate into better students and improved test scores. But Shedd says the new requirements will not necessarily have that effect, especially if classes in pedagogy are blanketed by an emphasis on content.
Teaching well is all about the relationship and getting students excited about it. It's all about that. And content mastery, or being an expert in the content, does not assure that you can pull that great relationship off.
Bennett says there's little risk in undergoing these particular changes because they've been shown to work in other places.
Indiana is certainly nowhere near being front runners in these types of reforms for licensure. We follow a long line of states, including Louisiana.
How long the new rules are in place, Shedd says, is a question. Results from the last time the rules changed in 2002 are just now starting to become apparent, she says.
Whether it is for the better, we will wait and see.
Teachers earning licenses for the first time before 2013 will still follow the old rules, but the changes will shape how freshmen entering college this fall will be educated. For WFIU News, I'm Daniel Robison.